The world was changed for good that day, and we were just an element, the victims of an accident or nuclear experiment. Our occupiers played a god that none of them believed in, and gave us all the devil, but no choice, we had to breed him. The hammer banged, raised fallout dust, the sickle of uranium, poisoned lands and rivers, Belarusian and Ukrainian. These symbols now mean more than ideology that failed. They spell the Soviet sin that to this very day prevails. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be? Their sickness lives in old and young, in children also blameless. A parting gift from a regime whose second name was Shameless. There's something I can't understand, this crime was so severe. Yet he who tried to hide it is a man now most revered. The sheep from Wales and Norway then got too sick to ignore. It seems for world opinion that their illness counted more than all the wrongs the Red Star brought to many eastern nations. Yet somehow it's still cool for some to guard its reputation. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be? They read deluded diatribe by so-called expert thinkers in cafe bars in Islington, then preach to normal drinkers. A blind eye to the crimes of one, but we're all taught the other. Swastika, hammer, sickle, had the same bitch for a mother. Try Molotov and Ribbentrop in 1939. They planned to share out Europe, that was once upon a time. But 25 years ago was born Forbidden Zone. It's still today for some poor souls a poisoned place called home. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be?
And from London, England, that was Stepan Pasichnik, also known as Ludwig, with his original composition, Chernobyl, that he made several years ago, and which is certainly still very apropos today. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ-1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері, говорить Павліна. Добрий вечір and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm your host, Pavlina. On today's show, since it is the 39th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear explosion, we'll be focusing on that, remembering and reflecting on the world's worst nuclear disaster to date. As well, we have an interview with Svetlana Kominsky about a project that her foundation, Maple Hope Foundation, is embarked on with a nod to Mother's Day, and a special webinar tomorrow hosted by world-renowned trauma counselor Dr. Gabor Mate. As well, a seasonal recipe from the Ukrainian Food Flair Cookbook, and on Knishka Corner, Myra Junik reviews the latest novel by Ukrainian-Canadian children's author Marcia Skripik, set in 2022 Mariupol. So stay tuned for all of that, as well our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a classic to commemorate the Chernobyl disaster by renowned and beloved Ukrainian singer and songwriter Taras Petroninko. Here he is now with Chernobylska Zona.
Yeah! The Shevchenko Foundation builds for the future. For over 60 years, it has been funding initiatives that strengthen our dynamic Ukrainian-Canadian community and keep multiple generations connected to their Ukrainian heritage. Thanks to the generosity of foundation donors, visual and performing artists, storytellers, heritage, and educational institutions can share our collective story for all Canadians to enjoy. The foundation proudly funds projects across Canada and in your local community, including this radio program. But as our story evolves and the community continues to grow, so does the need for your support. The Foundation can't do it without you. We invite you to consider an investment in the future of your community with a donation. After all, the Foundation's success will be your legacy. To learn more about funding opportunities or to donate, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
Ukraine is at war, and Ukraine War Amps is asking for your help with a donation today. Funds are needed for food, water, shelter, and transportation for Ukrainian veterans, their families, and children. All need rehabilitation and support. And for civilians, food, water, medication, and shelter, basic footwear for children and the elderly. Please donate today via PayPal or e-transfer to ukrainewaramps@gmail.com or visit ukrainewaramps.ca.
Вітаю, це Антон Лисенко. Підписуйтесь на YouTube-канал «Радіо Наш Голос». Для вас ми запрошуємо у нашу студію відомих канадських та українських експертів, політиків та культурних діячів. Ми говоримо про реалії сьогодення та аналізуємо події, що минули. Наш Голос – радіо українського коріння.
Up next, from the Nash Holos audio archives and the Ukrainian Food Flair cookbook, another Ukrainian Food Flair flashback.
Hello. We don't usually associate Ukrainians eating a lot of asparagus, but they do. In Ukraine, asparagus has been growing wild for centuries. Yes, and so abundantly and naturally that they have been termed weeds. The taste of asparagus is delicate yet distinctive, its shape, whether svelte or plump, always elegant. The color of asparagus ranges from bright green to snow white, depending on the way it is grown. Asparagus takes very well to fancy sauces, which may be one reason why it is considered a symbol of Epicurean eating. Get your pens ready for a fabulous recipe in praise of the asparagus. This recipe calls for Parmesan cheese only because it's difficult to find Brinza, the Ukrainian cheese from the Carpathian Mountains, which I know from personal experience is delicious. If you're not going to the Carpathians for the weekend or the near future, Parmesan is a good substitute. Here's the recipe for asparagus with cheese, which serves 4 to 5 people. 2 pounds asparagus, salt to season, 1/4 cup Parmesan cheese, 1/4 cup brown breadcrumbs. Wash the asparagus and snap off the woody base. Tie the stalks in bunches and stand them up in a deep pot containing a few inches of boiling salted water. Cover tightly, bring to a boil, and steam for 8 to 10 minutes or until tender crisp. Do not overcook. Drain the asparagus and season with salt. Place on a hot platter and sprinkle with some Parmesan cheese and browned buttered crumbs. To make the crumb topping, simply melt 4 tablespoons butter over a low heat until it becomes a golden color. Add 4 tablespoons of dry fine breadcrumbs and stir until they are lightly toasted. This dressing adds color, texture, and a toast-like flavor, which complements the flavor of asparagus. The amount of butter and crumbs may be adjusted to suit your preference. So, try it. It's Ukrainian.
That was the voice of the late Sylvia Molnar, who produced and presented Ukrainian food flair on Nash Holos for many years. She left behind a wonderful legacy, and the recipes, stories, and cooking tips she shared with Nash Holos listeners have been published as a tribute to her memory. Ukrainian Food Flair, the cookbook, is now available on Amazon in softcover and Kindle. Search for it there or get the link at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Up next, the fabulously talented Malyarevsky with Mayidem Pered. We're going to the front.
Ми йдем вперед, над нами вітер віє, і рідні нам вклоняються жита. Від радості аж серце мліє, за валю смерть нам не страшна. Від радості аж серце мліє, за валю смерть нам не страшна.
Welcome to Knishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, stories about Ukraine and Ukrainians in English.
In this edition of Knishka Corner, we will be discussing Marsha Forchuk-Skripuk's novel, Kidnapped from Ukraine Under Attack. In Kidnapped from Ukraine Under Attack, Skripuk describes the horrific human impact of Vladimir Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, which began on February 24, 2022. She explores how this invasion changed the lives of 12-year-old twin sisters Rada and Daria Popkova from Mariupol. Skripuk explains her own reaction to these events in the author's note. I never thought I would write a book about a war as it was happening. I am writing this note in January 2024. Ukraine is still standing. As the invasion begins in Mariupol, Daria and her family are appalled. Most people in Mariupol spoke Russian and believed they were neighbors of Russia, not their enemies. Daria and her mother go to the store to stock up on food, while her father and Rada stay in their apartment. However, while they are out shopping, the bombs start to fall. Our plan was to go in the general direction of Avostal, but to find temporary shelter along the way. They land in a shelter with dozens of other survivors of the bombing, including several children who have been separated from their families. Daria and her mother survive on very little food and water. They constantly worry about what happened to Rada and their father, who works in the Avostal steel plant and is part of the Army Reserve. Communication is almost non-existent, since electricity and cell phone service are rarely functioning. All we could do right now was to help each other and stay alive. We hunkered down for the long haul. As the bombing continues, the situation becomes desperate. Food and water are scarce. People are dying, and bombs are falling. Eventually, the shelter's roof fails. Daria gets a text message from her father to leave Mariupol and head for Zaporizhia. As they escape, they face extreme danger from the Russian army. This was the Russian Federation executing civilians because they were Ukrainian. It was terrifying and senseless. The subsequent journey separates Daria from her mother. She ends up in the Romashka children's camp, a Russian filtration camp for Ukrainian children, where they are brainwashed to forget their Ukrainian heritage and become Russians. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova, a Russian commissioner for children's rights, for the kidnapping of Ukrainian children. The writer has given readers a window into the brutality of the Russian attack on the sovereign country of Ukraine. Skripuk's powerful narrative reveals graphic and heartbreaking details of Ukrainian suffering at the hands of their Russian invaders. The suffering of young children is highlighted. There are also examples of actual historical events described in this novel. The Americans offered to evacuate Zelensky, but he refused, saying, "The fight is here. I need ammunition, not a ride." The last two sections at the end of the novel, author's note and five questions with answers, are an important addition to the narrative to clarify questions about the historical details of this time period. This novel will appeal to younger readers, but also to those readers of any age wanting to know more about recent events in Ukraine and the struggle of the Ukrainian people to survive in the face of unspeakable Russian atrocities. Marcia Forchuk-Skripuk is an acclaimed Ukrainian-Canadian author who has written award-winning nonfiction and historical fiction. Some of her works include Stolen Child, later published A Stolen Girl, Making Bombs for Hitler, Underground Soldier, later published as The War Below, Don't Tell the Enemy, later published as Don't Tell the Nazis, Trapped in Hitler's Web, Traitors Among Us, and Winter Kill. She was awarded the Order of Princess Olha by the President of Ukraine for her writing. She has also been banned for life by Russia for her writing. Marcia Forchuk-Skripuk lives with her family in Brantford, Ontario. In Kidnapped from Ukraine, Skripuk sends readers a powerful message about hope for Ukraine's future. We've got to clear away the death and the hate and find the life beneath all the damage. We'll make our country fairer, our land cleaner, even better than it was before. Readers will be excited to hear that this book is the first book in a trilogy. The subsequent books will be published later in 2025. Kidnapped from Ukraine Under Attack is available at Chapters Indigo, Amazon, and all online and bricks and mortar booksellers. I'm Myra Junik in Toronto for Nash Hollis Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Thank you, Myra. Join us again soon for another Knishka Corner book review with Myra Junik here on Nash Hollis Ukrainian Roots Radio. If you'd like to read the transcript, you can find it at our website, www.nashholos.com. And if you'd like to hear more from Marcia's perspective about writing that incredible novel, go to our Mixcloud account or our YouTube channel and check out the video of an interview I did with her and another author who set her book in 2014, Sevastopol, Ukraine. Today is April 26, 2025. 39 years ago today, the world witnessed the catastrophic explosion at Reactor 4 of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, an event that not only scarred the Ukrainian landscape, but also left an indelible mark on global consciousness. In the immediate aftermath of the explosion, thousands of brave individuals, firefighters, engineers, scientists, and soldiers risked and often sacrificed their lives to contain the disaster. Despite their diverse backgrounds, they united in their determination to stabilize the reactor and prevent an even greater catastrophe. Their heroism saved countless lives and mitigated the impact of one of the most devastating nuclear events in history. The disaster led to the evacuation of entire communities, the exposure of countless individuals to harmful radiation, and a reevaluation of nuclear safety protocols worldwide. The new safe confinement structure was completed in 2016, and it stands as a testament to international cooperation and the enduring effort to secure the remnants of this disaster. Yet history has a troubling way of echoing. On February 14, 2025, a Russian drone strike damaged the protective sarcophagus at Chernobyl. The drone strike ignited fires that smoldered for weeks. Fortunately, radiation levels remained within safe limits, thanks to the ingenuity and efficiency of Ukrainians in charge of the plant. But the incident served as a stark reminder of the vulnerabilities that persist even decades later. Further compounding concerns is the situation at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant today. It is Europe's largest nuclear power plant, and it has been under Kremlin control since 2022, just as Chernobyl was in 1986. Unsurprisingly, the facility has faced operational challenges, including compromised safety systems and a shortage of qualified personnel. Experts warn that restarting the plant without addressing these issues could be perilous. Ukrainians forcibly expelled from the plant are the only qualified personnel to operate it, yet all efforts by foreign interests seem focused on ensuring that they do not. Nuclear energy, while a powerful tool, demands the utmost respect and caution. The lessons from Chernobyl are not relics of the past, but urgent calls to action in our present. Yet those lessons are once again being ignored as the mistakes of the past loom on the horizon. Today we honor the memory of those affected by Chernobyl 39 years ago, the residents whose lives were uprooted, and the liquidators of diverse ethnicities who gave their lives to contain the danger and protect the rest of the world. We also honor the memory of Ukrainians and their supporters who, since 2014, and especially since February 2022, continue to give their lives to protect the world from the criminal regime still occupying the Kremlin and attempting to reoccupy Ukraine. Vechnaya pamyat, memory eternal. Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння при мікрофоні Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Павліна.
Не питай, чому птаха так дивно підрізані крильця, і чому не летить він в недавно квітучі сади. Лише мотуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця, в ніч Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди. Там колише матуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця. Ні, Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди. Не дивусь, який дощ пролили тоді ядерні хмари. І посивіла то поля, благала у неба навзрид. Відверніть, боги, від народу рідного атомну кару, бо не знаю, чи винесе він ще один геноцид. Відверніть, боги, від народу рідного атомну кару, бо не знаю, чи винесе він ще один геноцид. Настравили роками Сибіром, мовчанням, гулагом, і дивувались, мабуть, чому вони досі стоять. А тепер сховають в країну під прогнилим давно саркофагом і на пам'ять героям на Прип'яті сотні розп'ять. А тепер сховають в країну під прогнилим давно саркофагом і на пам'ять героям на Прип'яті сотні розп'ять. Та ніхто тих розп'ять не побачить, лиш мати в розпуці. Задалеко зайшов у гордині технічний прогрес, а у зоні відчуження в хаті бабця в полиняній хустці щовечора молить за спокій на кожній АЕС. А у зоні відчуження в хаті бабця в полиняній хустці щовечора молить за спокій на кожній АЕС. А не питай, чому птаха так дивно підрізані крильця, і чому не летить він в недавно квітучі сади. Там колише матуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця. В ній Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди. Там колише матуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця. В ній Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди.
And from Ukraine, Yordana Dranchuk with Pisnya Pro Chernobyl, song about Chernobyl. And before the break, you heard Infinite Flux with Bezmezhna Techia, Boundless Current, and that was released on the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. On April 27th, Maple Hope Foundation will host a charity online event with world-renowned trauma and healing expert, Dr. Gabor Maté. The webinar is titled, How to Understand Grief and Support One Another. This event is part of the international fundraising campaign, Heal a Mother's Heart, organized by Maple Hope Foundation. On the line with me now to share some of the details of the webinar and the campaign is co-founder and executive director of Maple Hope Foundation, Svetlana Kominko. Svetlana, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be part of your radio program and to share what you are doing in Maple Hope Foundation here in British Columbia and also back home in Ukraine.
Yeah, it's great to have you as part of the show as well, and to let people in the listening audience know what you're doing, because it's incredible work that you're doing, and you and your team are unsung heroes. So there's this webinar tomorrow. It sounds like it'll be extremely interesting and informative, to say the least. Dr. Gabor Maté is well known in Vancouver, but also around the world, as an expert in dealing with trauma and healing trauma. This webinar, though, is part of a larger campaign which you just launched in Ukraine, and it's called Heal a Mother's Heart. So tell us about it.
Oh, thank you. This global campaign is the outcome of our previous work that we started here in Canada, by the way, mm-hmm. at the beginning of 2023, when Ukrainian women and children started to come to Canada, mm-hmm. fleeing the war, and also were facing the challenges of the forced migration. Right. Many of them experience mental health challenges as well, like anxiety and a fear of unknown and depression, because so they were experiencing multiple losses, mm-hmm. the loss of their home, the loss of their employment,
their
loss of their life, right, that they've built in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And we developed a project that we started to run, Canada Healing the Wounds of the War Together.
Yes, yes.
Offering online support groups, mm-hmm. and individual counseling. And when this woman started to sign up, we realized that we do have already in Canada a woman that lost their brothers or close friends or neighbors or colleagues at work or mm-hmm. husbands mm-hmm. because of the war. And that's how our program was born here in Canada. And that was a bereavement support. And then we brought to Ukraine in summer of 2024 the source of strength. And as we started to work with women who lost their husbands and son or daughters at war, we realized that the concentration of loss and grief in Ukraine is so profound that we need to do something about that. That this woman and in general, not just woman, right? Because when somebody dies in the family, it affects the whole family system. So that's why we set a very ambitious goal. This campaign has a goal where we would like to raise awareness of people outside of Ukraine, that they would know about the grief that Ukraine is actually drowning now. Because Ukrainians know about that. But we want people around the world to become the voices of this Ukrainian woman who are in their dark tunnels, grieving in isolation. Especially those who are in small villages, small towns, with limited access to mental health services.
Yeah. You know, Svetlana, this is something that years ago, before this war happened, I often thought that, you know, the post-World War II Ukrainian immigrants, which are unlike the first and second wave of immigrants, which are more economic, but the third wave was all World War II refugees. And, you know, I heard so many stories of these people being thrust, like these women, being thrust into a strange culture, and people didn't believe them, the horrors that they experienced. And they had to cope with things by themselves. And I often thought, I wonder about intergenerational trauma that gets passed down, not just Ukrainians, but other refugees. They didn't have any kind of counseling, and it was so hard for them. It's wonderful that you're doing this. I mean, you know, there are professionals now in Canada that are able to do this. This is a wonderful project that you've started. And I hope that it will spread to other communities, other countries that refugees are coming from where there's war as well. This is so valuable, Svetlana. And so tell us a little bit more. You started this in 2023 and continued, and now you've just launched something in Ukraine. You're just back from Ukraine.
Yes, because we do understand that the numbers are growing of people that need this professional support in grieving. Mm-hmm. There is no any other way around. And you do understand that a person who just lost a loved one, in most cases, is not going to come and ask for help or reach for help.
No.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we are very small Canadian NGO. Do understand the profound impact on mental health, emotional health, and physical health of this very unjust, very sudden, very brutal death that these people experience when they are losing their loved ones. And in many cases, the bodies are not found. So they cannot even go into grieving because it's not complete, right?
No closure.
There is no closure. Yeah. Or if people are tortured in Russian captivity and they just receiving parts of their body. So this is horrible. And we do realize that we cannot wait until these people will start to reach for help, that we have to make that step forward and ask, how are you doing? We can offer this and that. And this is just a simple conversation, right? Mm-hmm. We are not going to drag anyone or pull into group therapy or individual counseling because people have to be ready for that. But from my experience working with these mothers, I just had the last program that you delivered in Columbia in December. When these mothers who lost their sons getting together, they feel safe in that environment. They are getting understanding, they are getting support, they are getting care, love, and slowly they can transform their pain into something bigger than themselves, than that pain.
Yeah.
So that's the mission. I came into this work not accidentally. I've been experienced multiple losses of my loved ones, family members. Yeah. And I know where I was. And I'm so grateful to Canadian BC Cancer Society and Burnley Hospital, the bereavement support services. Mm-hmm. They came to me. I didn't find them, but they made that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a basket case. Mm-hmm. And I was resisting that help.
Oh.
And then they called me again. And I started slowly to join support groups. And then grief counselor was working with me for some time. And I finally found peace and a new sense for my life. And that's what I wish for this woman. They gave the most precious. They gave the life of their children that defended Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I think our responsibility is to comfort them, to give them that love and care that they deserve.
Yeah. It's a wonderful first step, as you put it. And that's something that anybody can do. So it starts with one step, and then, you know, you branch out, and hopefully this will be a trend that will catch on, and it will be more and more people.
Yeah, so this global campaign, Heal a Mother's Heart, is for everyone who understands the pain and the suffering. You can support by providing a small donation. You can buy a chustka, a scarf, that we design in particular for this project. You can buy that scarf for yourself, for your mother, if it's, your mother is still alive, in memory of your mother, as a gift to your friend, for your friend, because we are approaching Mother's Day in Canada, which will be on May 11th.
Right.
Or you can buy a chustka, a scarf, for the mother of a Ukrainian defender who lost life. And we can deliver that gift.
Oh.
And it would be so wonderful if Paulette from Nanaimo is going to buy that scarf for Maria, who lives in Brovary.
Yeah.
Or in Kharkiv. And that's my vision for this global campaign, that we can all unite and we can be more kind to each other and feel that pain, but minimize that pain and make that walk, their load lighter.
So this campaign is for Mother's Day. So anytime now, people can buy one of these scarves or find another way to support the program. And they would just find you online or on Facebook?
Yes. The campaign website is attached to our organizational website. It is in two languages, healing.maplehopefoundation.org.
And you're on Facebook and Instagram. And
yes. Mm-hmm. People can also initiate and be more proactive. They can host a charity lunch or brunch for Mother's Day and raise funds towards campaign. They can join as an ambassadors and become voices of Ukrainian women who became silent at the time of grief. And then just spread the word, share, and let more people join us and support. It's a global movement of kindness, support, love, and healing.
Yeah, there are lots of things. Being an ambassador is something I want to do, and a scarf. And yeah, well, I'll be on your website having a look to see what's there where I can pitch in. And of course, this campaign will be ongoing, I imagine.
It's ongoing, yes. I don't feel we can stop. We have a very ambitious financial goal. We would like to raise $1 million.
Wow.
This will help deliver 140 group homes and cover over 4,000 individual counseling sessions, plus to deliver educational programs that we can scale this and prepare more facilitators for the group programs that will deliver and helping to deliver this program.
So you've got group homes, did you say, too?
Support groups.
Ah, okay. Right. And like in December, you had, it was sort of like a retreat, wasn't it, for women?
I don't like to use the word retreat because it's psycho-recreational program.
Ah.
It has 20 hours of group therapy plus recreational activity. So two psychologists, two counselors are working with this woman. And then after group therapy sessions, they are engaged in different recreational activities. They visit a new place, have art therapy classes. It's a mixture because the creativity and newness has a very healing therapeutic effect, right?
Yeah.
When you're pulled out from your environment where you're triggered because you are reminded constantly by your loved one who is not with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we pull down from that environment, we bring them to a nice side, closer to nature. That's why we do this in Carpathian Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can meet others and they're united by similar reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
The grieving process is very unique, very individual, that they are coming to that space because of the same reason, right?
Sure.
They lost their children at war,
yeah.
Or they lost their husbands at war.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Sunday morning at, I think, 10 a.m. Pacific time, Dr. Gabor Mate will be hosting a webinar, and he is a trauma and healing expert. The webinar is titled How to Understand Grief and Support One Another. Can you give us kind of a sneak preview? What's that going to be about?
So that's another layer in our campaign. We would like to offer psychoeducational webinars around grief and loss.
Mm-hmm.
And the knowledge and tools that Ukrainian psychologists, psychotherapists, counselors must have in order to professionally support the grievers in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's also for those who experience the loss of their loved ones, but this time it's more for a professional audience that would like to join our movement and support Ukrainian women that experience this profound loss. And Gabor Mate is a world-renowned expert on trauma, mm-hmm. on loss and grief. Mm-hmm. And he's going actually to co-present with another expert on grief, Marta Thorstein. She's the director of International Trauma Institute from Norway.
Oh, wow.
And this is just an opening of the webinar series on the topics around grief and loss, and we are going to continue this work.
Wow. Okay, so then Sunday, April 27th at 10 a.m., and there is no cost, but participation is by donation. So donations are encouraged, but there is no formal fee, and you register at Eventbrite.
Yes, at Eventbrite on the Maple Hope Foundation profile, on social media, on Instagram or our Facebook account.
Okay. And there will be also a Q&A session with Dr. Mate?
Yes, there will be a Q&A session, and this is very neat because this webinar is specifically for Ukrainian community.
Okay. So thank you so much, Svetlana, for sharing this information. Thank you for all the great work that you do, for the initiative that you show, and I hope to have you back on the show sometime soon to keep us updated on this incredible work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Palat. It's always a pleasure to be at your show.
Great to have you. And again, if you'd like to help out with this incredibly worthy cause, visit Maple Hope Foundation and go to their website, maplehopefoundation.org, or find them on social media. One of the countless talented Ukrainian musicians. That was Victoria Derkach with a Banduda cover of Handel's Passacaglia.
Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. На жаль, ми наближаємося до кінця нашої програми. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, але перед тим цими словами мудрості. Хто коріння луха знайде, той і біду обіде. And our proverb of the week translates as to find the root of the problem is to resolve it. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. Just a reminder that the Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos can be heard in the Vancouver listening area on CHLY 101.7 FM, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. and streaming online at chly.ca. In between broadcasts, please stay in touch with us at our website, www.nashholos.com, as well as on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel, where our growing list of subscribers enjoys the fabulous videos our Anton Lysenko posts there. You can also find the link to the full episode podcast at their new home now on Mixcloud, and do follow me there so you'll get updates every time there's a new edition posted. As well, you'll find a link to the Ukrainian Food Flair cookbook, which is available on Amazon. All that at our website, www.nashholos.com. Well, our time is about up, so we'll wrap up the show with the Playboy Band from Edmonton with the Wedding Presentation March. So get those dancing boots on. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320, thanks for listening and dobranich!
Церкви мене коло школи. Били тубе коло церкви, бо тіпів горілку. Били мене коло школи, бо я кухав кілку. Та й стивав ще стергівки між усвань ротами. І на ганка друга, ганка трета Катерина, та й четверта я не скажу, чи ти є дівчина. Старий каже, what you do, стара каже, I love you.